there's a celebrity status that you can have in LA that you just can't in Seattle or Salt Lake or Tempe, Arizona. And so it's not just the players that get to reap those rewards, but it's a coach like Clay Helton having to deal with guys being followed by TMZ. TMZ cameras don't go to Tucson, Arizona. You know, so there's just different levels of coaching and essentially parenting you have to do as Clay Helton.
It's a lot like when Anthony Herron was playing in Iowa, in the That's streets right. of Iowa City. He'd walk down the streets. TMZ was always following him around in Iowa City. You know, I don't think TMZ even existed when you were
it
playing.
It was not a thing. It was not probably a glint in anyone's eyes back at that point. But my nickname, one of my many nicknames when I was in college at Iowa, was Grandpa. They called me Grandpa Herron because I was the guy who, when something was going wrong or somebody needed a designated driver or somebody was maybe going to make a bad decision, like let me punch this kid out who said something bad about Iowa football, I was the one to go in and grab him and make sure they didn't do anything too dumb. So Grandpa Herron was one of my nicknames.
Well, that it means you were a good teammate, because that's part of the things you have to do as a teammate is say, no, probably you shouldn't drive here, or uh-huh. probably don't set this thing on fire. But
right.
It's football. It's a wild sport. These guys are wild guys. And what sort of an impact has this social media culture had, the greater the Orwellian influence, if you will? Everything's on camera now. How big of an effect has that had on college football, in your opinion?
Huge, because the players themselves, like for me, I played college football in the mid to late 90s, and the landscape there was all based on the linear television platform, and that was it. And so as players, you'd all huddle around the television and wait to watch SportsCenter and see what highlights were there. But that was the only way you could consume your product, either that or video games. Now, it's just you can constantly consume your product on your mobile devices and social media. So it's a very different landscape, and the players are influenced in a very different way, in a far more immediate way than it's ever been in the past. And so I think that's what makes the job of the coaches and the way they influence the players that much more difficult. And for the players, the level of maturity that's necessary to be able to handle the outside influences is far more vast, because you have so many other people who can reach you than it used to be.
Utah has had legends coach in the state. They had Lavelle Edwards, who was a legend for many, many years. A brief stop, but he's a legend now. He built his legend at Utah. Urban Meyer.
Right.
Kyle Whittingham's building that now. You played for a legend your first few years in Iowa, right? Hayden Fry.
Yes, sir.
He was one of those guys, of those dudes. He's a Midwestern legend.
Uh-huh.
What was he? Did you go to Iowa? We always talk about kids commit to fans all think kids commit to play at their school because they love their school.
And right.
Kids don't really do that. You commit to – you may like the school, but you commit to play for the coach, right?
That is 100% accurate, and especially in my case. I'm from Chicago, so Chicago is more of a pro sports city. I didn't grow up really paying close attention to college football. Once I started getting recruited as a football player, that was really when I first started paying closer attention to, you know, what's it going to be like for me as a collegiate athlete? What are the different universities like? So for me, as I was getting my different schools narrowed down as a defensive lineman out of the Chicago area, came down basically to Iowa, Michigan, and Michigan State. And then really the final two was Iowa and Michigan State. So many of the schools were using negative recruiting against both of those programs at the time. Nick Saban was at Michigan State, and the negative recruiting folks used against him was Nick's going to go to the NFL.
Negative recruiting, for those who aren't aware, is like other coaches talking trash on the school. You know,
right.
You hear they hear you like Iowa, and they tell you something bad about Iowa, and it's kind of a turnoff sometimes to athletes.
Precisely. And for me, with folks saying, well, Nick Saban's not going to be there your whole time in school because he's going to go to the NFL, the negative recruiting they used against Iowa was, well, Hayden Fry's getting older, so Coach Fry isn't going to be at Iowa your entire career there. So really both things to some extent ended up being true, because Nick, he didn't go immediately to the NFL, but he left Michigan State and went to LSU. Coach Fry did retire after my second year in Iowa City, and then Kirk Ferentz, who's still there, now the dean of college football, took over.
And that was the last time Nick Saban ever talked about going to the NFL and caused any drama with that.
Oh, wait,
there was one more time.
There was that other one time, yeah.
So had you had guarantees, do you think you would have gone to play for Saban?
No, because I just loved Iowa City. It's kind of the preeminent, to me, the way a college town should be set up, where the entire focus of the university, of the surrounding area, of the fan base is on that team. Like, take Seattle, where Washington is, for example. That, to me, just that setup on Lake Washington, where Husky Stadium is so cool that that's the first, I guess, campus within a city that eliminated that concern for me. When I was a recruit, I wanted to go somewhere where college football felt like the main focus, felt very important, and that's what I got from the University of Iowa. Lansing felt a little bit like a city with a campus in it. Ann Arbor felt a little bit like a city with a campus in it. Iowa City is surrounded by corn and Hawkeye fans, and that's pretty much all.
The Pac-12 South headlines are being dominated by USC, rightfully so. They're a very good team. They're picked first in the South. Utah picked second in the South, but I think most folks will tell you between Colorado, UCLA, Utah, there's a lot of data that says all those teams can have good years. What's it going to take for Utah to put it together, finish second in the conference, maybe have a 9 or a 10-win season? What's it going to take, in your opinion?
The South, to me, is certainly deeper than the North. I had a difficult time as I was kind of evaluating, because I agree with the media, which really concerned me, but I agree that Washington's going to come out of the North and USC is going to come out of the South. I haven't agreed with the media's choices at Media Days in probably 3 years, so maybe we'll all be wrong. But I believe for Utah, the move that Kyle Whittingham made in hiring Troy Taylor was one of the more stunning moves I saw from an assistant coach hire in all of college football. And it can be one of these things that turns into a home run, but it's so different from how he's enjoyed operating, from his personality on offense. And then you look at the resume of Troy Taylor and what was there. You know, there had been some success at the collegiate level, but then a lot of maybe the more immediate portion of the resume was more even at the high school level, what he did with Jake Browning. So that, to me, is extremely intriguing. And I think Coach Witt, I can commend him, I suppose, to a certain extent, because of the fact that this program the last couple of years has been in the Pac-12 championship hunt, and you could be fine with that. And he's got his job security, and he can be comfortable. But he said, that's not good enough. I want to be in the national championship discussion. I need an offense that will take me there.
Do you believe then that Utah's offense will change that dramatically in a year under Troy Taylor?
I believe that's the plan. Now, to me, the question will be how much leash will Kyle Whittingham allow for that? If there's a few fits and starts early in the season, if the defense is affected in a negative way, which I believe it likely will be, if the productivity is there offensively, it's easier for him to kind of stay hands off. If there's some struggles with the new system and the implementation of it, then there may be more of an urge to try to get in and step in and adjust some things.
What's got to happen for you to feel that Utah has solidified the number two spot and they might be able to challenge for the number one spot? What's got to happen in your mind?
We got to make sure that playmakers are solidified offensively. And, you know, what's happened in bringing in Darren Carrington, he's going to be the most talented receiver in the lineup for the Utes, so that certainly gives them a boost at wideout. And that's been, to me, the main concern for how Troy Taylor's system would work and how quickly it can end up being successful and productive. They now do have a true playmaker on the outside. So from a productivity standpoint, that should really, you know, lend itself to do well for him.
What are your big question marks about Utah's team right now?
Well, obviously love a lot of what they have coming back on defense. Lost some talent on the back end in the secondary, but we've seen them be great there no matter what, and that's a position up front on the D-line and back end in the secondary, where with Kyle Whittingham teams, they're always going to have talent coming back. And Booby Hobbs is a player, to me, that I would really love to see him take another step forward, because I believe he's extremely physically gifted, not just as a specialist, as a return man, but as a defensive back as well. I think he can have a big season if he's really locked in.
It's Anthony Heron for the Pac-12 Networks. He's got to get on a jet airplane and fly back to Chicago. You'll be in Salt Lake at some point, though, right?
I'm sure I will, yes. You know, the training camp tour is a bit adjusted for the network, but my plan will be to be in Salt Lake City during the preseason. I don't have the Utes during the first 3 weeks of the year, but I always get some Utah games during the season.
We'll do some ant bites when you're in town. I got a couple of spots for you.
We've got to make that happen.
Always good to see you.
Great to see you guys.